Emotions. Everybody has them, but no one wants to be controlled by them. So how can we be people who deal with our emotions in a healthy and biblical way? Join us in November for a four-week series as we talk about how to handle all the feels.
This is Pastor Marcia. This weekend, we are wrapping up our message series called All the Feels. I'm prepared to share God's word with you today. I am here. Nothing has gone wrong. Or maybe it has. Maybe this apparent technical difficulty reminds you of your life. Things aren't going like you expected they would. This darkness feels familiar. Too familiar. Like the disappointment, frustration, confusion, and doubt that keep creeping into your consciousness despite your best effort to just be happy. But even though darkness hides or obscures your view of me, I'm still here. You have evidence of my presence. Many of you recognize my voice, and I hope that is comforting because you have reason to believe that eventually, hopefully sooner rather than later, the lights will go up, I will emerge from my hiding place, and you will see me again. And here I am. Today's topic is joy. I feel like I drew the long straw on this one. You hear about people drawing the short straw. In our series, All the Feels, we've talked about anger, anxiety, depression. I didn't have to cover any of that. I got assigned to the topic of joy. And as I was preparing over the last month, several people recommended this movie to me. It's called Inside Out, and it looks at our emotional landscape from the perspective of an 11-year-old girl named Riley. And you don't have to be familiar with the film in order to guess which one of these characters depicts joy, right? And in fact, somebody here on staff recommended to me, she didn't just recommend, she pleaded with me, will you please wear a blue wig and a lime green flowered dress to preach this message? I thought that might be a little distracting, but I did decide to take a different dramatic approach because joy is like the scenario I talked you through from backstage. Joy for the Christian, true joy that comes from knowing Jesus, is present, is with us, is a reality keeping and upholding us throughout our lives, even when we find ourselves in darkness. When we invite Jesus to live in our hearts and lead our lives, he joyfully takes up residence through the power of and presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus described this reality to his disciples before he left earth. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So his presence guarantees that joy will never leave us because he has promised never to leave us. And joy is an integral part of who he is. So, for those of us who live and move and have our being in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, joy is always present, even when we're angry, like we talked about a few weeks ago, even if we're anxious, even though we sometimes get depressed, even where things go seemingly wrong in our lives, and even when people that we're counting on don't show up when and where they're supposed to, right? Whatever happens, joy is with us because God is with us. Our plans go awry, tragedy strikes, disease is diagnosed, friends fall away, sons and daughters rebel. Our hearts might be broken in 100 different ways on any given Tuesday. And yet, the main point of today is that where God is, joy is. Well, what is joy? I've started out on the premise that it's something good, something desirable, something that we want in our lives. And I think we agree that's true, but I think it's also useful for us to consider what joy is, what it means. And by now, I've been at Northgate now almost 2 years. You know me and my love of words, so I turned to the dictionary. The dictionary brings me joy. Literally. Joy is a noun, that's relevant, and it's the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune. It's the expression or exhibition of such emotion. It's a state of happiness or felicity. That's a good word, felicity. I'll work that in another sermon. And it's also a source or cause of delight. And I want us to focus on two elements of the definition. First of all, that it's a noun, which most of us learn in elementary or grammar school is a person, place, or thing. And today we're going to focus on joy, that third definition of joy, as a source. So that noun element, don't worry, you're not going to have an English lesson here. But I do want to just take it through. Joy is a thing. Well, how is that? It's a condition, an emotional condition, a state of being. It's an inner place. It is. It's a place we can go. Just like anger or anxiety or sadness, depression, those are places we can go. If you don't believe me, think about your emotional reaction to something unfair that might have happened to you recently. And you had a choice in that moment. There's that sort of initial visceral response. And then, if you're wise, you might tell yourself, or say to a good friend if you recognize the symptoms of a tantrum or a blow-up, you might say, don't go there, right? Because our emotional states of being, those are places, inner places we can go. And joy is also a place we can visit and revisit. And ultimately, I want to focus on that third part of the noun, which is the person. And joy is embodied and personified by Jesus Christ, Savior of the world and leader of our lives. Jesus is our source of true joy. Rick Warren always provides a great definition of some of those essential elements of our faith. And in this case, he does it again. He says, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. It's the quiet confidence that ultimately, maybe not in some of those dark moments, maybe in certain seasons or chapters of your life, man, everything is not all right, but ultimately, everything is going to be all right. That's joy. And joy is also the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Every situation. The Bible gives us many examples of men and women who chose to be joyful even in terrible situations, painful situations. They might not have worn that 10,000-watt smile like the Pixar depiction of joy in the midst of their ordeals. But they gave us an evidence of this inner radiance that kept them going in spite of terrible circumstances. I'll just give you one example from the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis. We read about joyful Joseph. And if there's anybody who had reason to be angry, anxious, or depressed, it was Joseph. He was bullied and abused by his brothers to the point where they actually sold him into slavery. Then he finds himself in the employ of an Egyptian official named Potiphar, who was impressed with Joseph. So Joseph is making the best of a bad situation, and he goes about his work. And unfortunately, Potiphar's wife was also very impressed with Joseph and tries to seduce him. And next thing he knows, he's falsely accused of attempted sexual assault, and he's in prison. This is not the way that Joseph expected or hoped his life would go. But the scriptures tell us in Genesis chapter 39, while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. You see, the Lord's presence energized and sustained Joseph and kept him in joy, in a state of joy, and ultimately led to his miraculous release and his redemption, as well as the redemption of the whole nation through him. So remember the main point: where God is, joy is. I can think of a number of other brothers and sisters of the faith, our spiritual ancestors, especially the ones that are recalled in the Old Testament stories. And as we look ahead to 2020, because we're getting there, it's coming on the end of 2019 and onto a new decade, and we are excitedly planning for 2020 here at Northgate, including each of the message series that we will share throughout the year. And the first part of the year, starting in January, we're going to be sharing a number of those accounts of people who remained faithful to God and kept their joy because they knew that God was with them. So we're looking forward to that, but I also just want to pause to say, I see joy in you. I see you being diagnosed with disease. I see you when tragedy strikes. I see you keeping the joy of the Lord as your strength. God isn't just a God who was at work in ancient times and all those wonderful stories were recorded in the Bible. God's story continues through you here and now. And that brings me joy. So, I've already said, I love words. I geek out about them regularly. It's a funny thing. It's a blessing and a curse because I notice words, I notice patterns in words, I notice typos, and I can't go to a restaurant or open a newspaper without something, you know, jumping off the page and biting me in the nose. Like, it's a pain in a way. I've noticed that here at Northgate over the last couple of years, I keep getting asked to proofread things, so they know my secret. I don't keep it a secret. It works that way with God's word, too. Not that I'm finding typos in the Bible, mind you, but I pick up themes and patterns, like sort of like you would if you were getting to know a new city. So say you've come to Batavia, just moved here, and you're just got a hankering for some McDonald's fries. So you figure out, oh, there's a McDonald's on East Main across from that Miss Batavia restaurant. And if you're not close to that part of the city, well, there's the other one, right? Across town, near Value Home Center. Or if any French fries will do, or any fast food, you could go to Arby's or Wendy's. No, Arby's or Burger King or Taco Bell in between. You see, things kind of map themselves out for us when we're getting to know a new city, and that's how my brain works with words. So as I'm preparing to preach about joy, I'm reading the Bible for my devotional time early in the mornings. That's usually when that happens. Or I'm opening the Bible in a small group session to either as a participant or as a leader of one of those. Or sometimes I'm visiting people in the hospital and they ask me to open God's word to them. And as I'm preparing and going about my regular life and ministry, I'm starting to notice these words and phrases keep appearing And this is what they are. Even though, even then, even when. And it occurred to me that those little phrases that are really just connecting other words, they really represent the power of joy in our lives. When the rubber meets the road, when push comes to shove, when stuff happens, God is right there with us, even though, even then, even when, and his joy sustains us. His joy is our strength. His joy transcends our circumstances. Map this out with me, if you will, by looking at just a few familiar psalms. I'm going to start with Psalm 46, which is one of the ones I get requested a lot when I visit folks in the hospital, if they're recovering from surgery or if they're battling an illness. This one comes to mind as something that seems to be a comfort to folks. And each of these psalms, I want you to watch for and listen for that key phrase. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Our whole world might be falling apart, physically, emotionally, relationally, financially, but God is still there, an ever-present help in trouble. And where God is, joy is. Another psalm that I often get asked to read is Psalm 23, and I'm just going to read the first half of it for you. Watch for that key phrase. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. There it is again. Even though life gets dark. Something I noticed as I kind of did this different approach today is backstage, it's really dark. I thought I might, you know, have another bruise or something to show for to demonstrate that God is still with me and I'm still joyful, even when it's dark, even though things happen I didn't expect. Even when we can see what's happening, it's hard to know how to navigate. But God's presence, even though we walk through dark valleys, God's presence makes all the difference. The next psalm I want to share with you is one that Tom and I chose for to be sung at our wedding 23 years ago because we knew that we would need God's presence to guide us in our marriage and in our life together. It's Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, what is it? Even then, I will be confident. Wickedness, enemies, war. Think those terms only apply to military operations? Think again. Show up for an appearance at family court. Visit a local cancer treatment center. Drop your kid off for the day at a middle school. That has a few meetings embedded in it for me after what's happened recently in Albion. Go get some groceries at Walmart. Or, scarier still, go there on Friday this week and try to do some Christmas shopping. Yikes! I think this is one of those moments when it's appropriate to say funny, not funny. The reality is that we see evidence of evil all around us. We do have enemies, and we do have an ultimate enemy, Satan, who wants us to believe that God has abandoned us when we need him most. To be people of faith means that we resist the lies of our enemy and recognize and remember the source of our joy no matter what. Even when, where God is, joy is. Period. Another psalm that reminds us of God's constant companionship is Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. I need the next slide. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Those scary, daunting, terrible, dark things that some of you are going through now. That's the reality. Some of you are walking through dark valleys right now. Those things don't surprise God, they don't scare God, and they don't send him away. He draws closer. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, the scriptures tell us. Darkness is as light to him. He is with you, and where God is, joy is, even in the midst of those times. For believers in Jesus, the people in whom the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace dwells, can you tell I've got an early start on my Christmas music? But joy is a permanent part of that living arrangement. He's not going away. Even when life goes differently than we planned, hoped, or expected. Joy is still with us because the one who personifies joy is in us. One more psalm to back this up. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you see that at the end? This life is not the end. God is with us. God brings us incredible comfort and strength and goodness during our time on earth. But forevermore, we have even better things to look forward to. Pleasures forevermore. So since all this is true, not if, but since it is, since it's in God's word, and that is true, why ain't we feeling it? Am I right? Sometimes we are not experiencing joy in our everyday lives. What's the deal with that? That doubt, that disappointment, that yuck that weighs us down and sometimes prevents us from believing that God is present at all? Well, the simple explanation is we forget. We're human and we forget. We're distractible, we're busy, we get overwhelmed by other powerful emotions that supersede our joyfulness, emotions that we've been talking about, like I said, these past few weeks. Anger can be powerful. Anxiety can be crippling and chronic. And depression and joyfulness, can those coexist? I believe they can. And this is somebody who has experienced clinical depression you're looking at. Joy was still with me during those dark times. And joy is with you because God is in you. Joy is much more than a feeling. It's a gift from God. It's a characteristic of Christ that we receive. We cherish, we hold on to it, we wear it, yes we do, and then we share it. And I'm sorry that those rhyme. I didn't mean it. But we do. The analogy seemed fitting at this as we head into the season of Christmas, and we give and receive gifts over the next month or so. What's today? 1 month and 1 day away. I hope that doesn't cause any of you anxiety from the big day. But the Bible tells us that we're to put on, to wear the characteristics of Christ. Paul wrote to the church and to in his book of, to the Colossians, "You are God's chosen people. You are holy and dearly loved. So put on tender mercy and kindness as if they were your clothes. Don't be proud. Be gentle and patient. Joy is a characteristic of Christ that we're called to accept, cultivate, and imitate. It's a gift that we make room for." I remember a few months ago, what's her name, Marie Kondo? It was really big, and people were going through their closets and sifting out the things that didn't bring them joy. Well, I'm suggesting we make sure that we pull joy out of that wardrobe of our hearts and put it on. It's there. Anybody else have like a finder of your household? Like the remote is missing, the can opener's missing, somebody can't find their uniform jersey. I'm it in the Rivers household. Anything's missing, mama can't find it, it's gone forever. Well, as someone who has found joy in the Lord and has found him to be true and faithful even through dark times, I'm telling you, keep looking. Keep seeking after Jesus. Keep seeking after that joy. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, if you have never experienced God's companionship within you and the joy that he can bring even in the darkest of times, come talk to me. Come talk to Pastor Vern or anybody here who you know has experienced that joy, because we want to help you and invite you to accept God's invitation into relationship with him. Like all characteristics of Christ, we do have to grow into them, right? It's like kids grow into their clothes. We are God's children. And wearing the clothing of faith, sometimes it's awkward at first. We don't even know how to put our arms through the sleeves. We have to learn to button and snap and zip. We have to learn what shirts go with which pants, which clothes are most appropriate to wear in which seasons. Some of us are still learning this with our actual clothes, not just our spiritual ones. I don't want to overstretch the analogy, but I do want to encourage you that it takes time and maturity and growing into our faith. But joyful living is worth pursuing. And it's possible because of Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, we are urged to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus himself knew the value of true joy, and he himself pursued it through the darkest valley imaginable, the most painful, an excruciating experience. You know that word excruciating? That actually comes from crucifixion. Jesus did that for the joy of reuniting with his children, with us. It's worth pursuing. And because Jesus made it possible, we can enjoy the warmth, the comfort, and the protection of his presence forever. Now, one of the things that I think is true about joy is that we're to be grateful for it. We recognize it as a gift that we receive. When you receive a gift, you say thank you to the giver. I don't think that we can really experience it and enjoy it without thanking him. And that thankfulness, that gratitude, we know brings us more joy. It kindles it. And now we have the opportunity to give. Pastor Vern mentioned the great day of giving offering that would be accepted at the end of the service, and here we are. It's something we look forward to all year, actually, because we collect a special offering that we then give to three designated local charities, and some of that money also goes into some special projects here at Northgate that benefit all of us and that draw people. That's the goal, is to draw people to the joy of the Lord and into his saving relationship. So I'll invite the ushers forward now and invite all of us to pray. Lord, we are so grateful to be your children and to have the privilege of receiving the joy that you bring us. And we want to wear it well. We want to remember it's there, not bury it in the back of our hearts or cover it up with the clutter of busyness or anything else. We want to radiate your joy for our own good and for the good of the world that so desperately needs you. So Lord, as we give this morning towards some very real needs in our community, Crossroads House, Habitat for Humanity, and the Set Free Movement, we pray that you would bless these offerings. I pray that they would, that the act of giving would bring us joy and that the gifts themselves would spread your joy into the community. We thank you and we love you and we pray all these things in the name of Jesus, who is our joy. Amen.